This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي، آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, in today's class, we are going to look at three names of Allah the Exalted. And these names are Al-Ahad, Al-Wahid, and Al-Witr. Now, these names of Allah, because they are similar in their meaning, this is the reason why we are studying them together. And all of these names convey the meaning of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, He is single, He has no partner, He has no equal, and there is nothing at all that resembles Him, that is equal to Him, that is similar to Him. And we see that this is one of the core beliefs. This is one of the very clear messages that the Quran conveys over and over again. This message is conveyed to us through the Quran in almost every single surah. Any page of the Quran that you open, you will see in it the mention of the fact that Allah is one. In fact, the name Allah itself means Al-Ilah, the God, meaning the concept of lordship or of being God in itself means that Allah is one, that God is one. Al-Ilah, the God, meaning the only true God, the only real God, the only one who is actually truly God. So all of this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He is single, He is unique, and there is no one that is like Him in any way whatsoever. So, and this concept, yes, it is mentioned very clearly in the Quran, but the fact that there are three names that we know of which refer to His absolute oneness shows what an important concept this is and how important it is for us to believe in this concept, in this fact that Allah is one. Now, when we look at the names Al-Ahad, Al-Wahid, Al-Witr, then we see that Al-Ahad, inshallah, I'm going to talk about the meaning of these words as well. But we see that the name Al-Ahad means the single one, and it occurs once in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ikhlas, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, that say He is Allah who is one, or قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ, say the fact is that Allah is Ahad, that Allah is one. And this name, as I mentioned, occurs only once in the Quran. Then we see that the name Al-Wahid also means the one, and it occurs 22 times in the Quran. And we see that in many places, the name Al-Wahid actually comes with the name Al-Qahhar. So for example, we see in Surah Ar-Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, say that Allah is the creator of everything, وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ, and that He is Al-Wahid, the single one, Al-Qahhar, the irresistible, meaning that when He imposes His will, when He decides something, then there is no way that people can escape it. There is no way that people can avoid it. So this is because Allah is Al-Wahid. And then thirdly, the name Al-Witr, the unique one, this is a name that is mentioned only in the Sunnah. So in Hadith, we learned the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. He who commits them to memory would enter paradise, And then he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ. And indeed, Allah is witr. يُحِبُّ الْوِتْر. And he loves witr. And witr, you know, it means odd number, meaning a number that cannot be divided by two. And it's referring to, you know, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Quran, we see that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he takes an oath, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, that by the even and by the odd. So some ulama, they said that al-watr is referring to al-witr. Al-watr is referring to Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is an interpretation. And if that is the case, then the name al-witr is also mentioned in the Quran, but only once. However, the meaning, the implication of these names, of course, the Quran is filled with that. So let's look at the meaning of these names in detail. The first name that we're going to look at is Al-Wahid. Now, the name Al-Wahid, you know, the word Wahid itself means the number one. So you have Wahid, one, Ithnain, two, Thalatha, three. So Wahid means one, all right? Meaning not two, not zero, not three, not four, not five, but one, meaning in quantity, one. And wahid also means the first, because what is wahid comes first, right? So this is why al-wahid is understood as the first. So al-fardul awwal, meaning the first one, so there was no one before him. And also it means that wahid means that he is one. So he is one in his being, the way he is, meaning that there is no other like him. So there aren't two gods or three gods. There is only one God. So there is no one that is equal to him, no one that resembles him. As we learn in the Quran, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ, that your God is one God. Meaning that is a fact that Allah is only one. Allah is not two. God is not two or three. God is only one. And Al-Wahid also shows that He is one, meaning He has always been one. Meaning there was never a time that there was another God. There was never a time that there were two gods or three gods. And there will never be a time when there will be two gods or three gods. So al-wahid means that he has always been one and he will forever be one. So there was never anyone who was equal to him, and there will never be anyone who is equal to him. And this is the reason why we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even have a child. Because having a child means that there is now someone who is like you, right? Or someone who has a part of you, right? Who is a part of you and who is now like you, and they will grow up to be, you know, similar to you, equal to you, etc. So al-wahid means that he has always been one and he will always remain one. Now this is the meaning of wahid. When we look at the name al-ahad, al-ahad means also that which is one, that which is singular, but in the sense that that there is nothing that is similar to him, all right? So ahad conveys the meaning of uniqueness, all right? Uniqueness, that there is no one that is similar to him. So when we're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal being ahad, this means that he is absolutely unique in his being, in his attributes. So for example, you know, in words, you know, there could be certain words that we use to refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then those words we also use to refer to people. So for example, in the Quran, we learn that Allah is as-Samir, right? That he is ever-hearing. He listens. And the word Samir can also be used to refer to people, because people also listen, people also hear. But this similarity is just in the word, all right? In the enunciation, in the it's, this is the limitation of language. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ahad, meaning his listening is not like anyone else's listening. His hearing is not like anyone else's hearing. So he is al-ahad, meaning he is absolutely unique, singular in his perfection, in his attributes. So this is why we see in Surah Al-Ikhlas that قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. The surah ends with the mention of the fact that there is no one who is equal to him, that is like him. So al-ahad meaning singular, how? In his attributes, in his being. So there is no one that resembles him. And then the name al-witr, witr means also single, but basically the word witr refers to something that cannot be divided, all right? So witr is an entity that cannot be divided. So for example, it is said witr is ma lam yushfar min al-adad, meaning a number that cannot be divided by two. So witr means that he has any no match, no equal. He is unparalleled, he is unequaled, right? So al-witr, yani he cannot be divided into parts, and there is no one that can become like him, equal to him, that can become his counterpart. So all of these names, in one way or another, they are teaching us of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, he is unique, there is no one like him. And this is why we believe in the concept of tawheed, right? Tawheed is to make one. Meaning, when it comes to perfection, when it comes to being God, when it comes to being creator, that all of these attributes are singularly in Allah Azza wa Jal, such that there is nothing like Allah, right, who could be equal to him or similar to him, and that all attributes of divinity are combined within him. So we see, you know, historically people have held different types of beliefs when it comes to the concept of God, right? There is this idea that there are multiple gods, or that, you know, there's the God of this power and the God of that power. So the God of fertility and the God of rain and the God of, you know, wealth and this and that. Yani each god has his own or her own realm, right, or domain, and they control that particular aspect. And this is completely contrary to the concept of Tawheed. Tawheed is, when we say that Allah is one, that means that he has absolute power over everything. So you don't need to go to the god of this and the god of that. No, you go only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept is a very natural concept, and it's a very logical concept. Yani, this is in perfect alignment with the way that the universe functions, the way that the universe exists. Because if there were multiple gods, as we learn in the Quran, that if there were multiple gods, then the skies and the earth would be lafasadata, they would be ruined, completely ruined. And, you know, we can see this in our own lives, that when, for example, multiple people have authority over something, each individual wants to exert his or her own power. And when that happens, then there is complete chaos, right? So there needs to be a very clear division of authority, right? And even then we see that, you know, when there is multiple people that you have to answer to, you get confused because one person says do this, the other person says do that. So you don't know who to listen to, right? So, you know, sometimes it happens, for example, in the family that, you know, children will go to the father will say one thing, they go to the mother will say something different. Now, who do you listen to, right? who, you know, somebody needs to make the final call. And this is why within a marriage, you know, it's the husband who has been given that, you know, that final authority to make the final call. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Because if that were not the case, then the family would be in chaos. So the concept of oneness of God is a very logical concept. It makes sense. And, you know, if the existence of the universe is an evidence that there is only one God. Because if that was not the case, then, you know, we learn, for example, in Greek mythology and you know, other you know, religions that have existed about how there was a war between the gods and, you know, this one fought with that one. There would be constant warfare, right? There would be a struggle for power, and that would cause the creation to suffer. So this is illogical that there should be multiple gods. It is not possible to prove that. So there is only one God. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, He is Al-Ahad, He is Al-Wahid, He is Al-Witr, then what does that mean? This means that, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and unique. He is single in His essence, in His being. So this means that there is no other that is like Him. He is the only one of His kind. There is no other like Him, which means that He has no child, no relative, no partner, right? No son, no daughter, no one that is like Him, because He does not have an equivalent. He does not have a pair. He does not have a similarity. And this is something that we learn in Surah Al-Ikhlas, that لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, right? That He, you know, does not give birth. He does not beget, nor was He begotten, right? So He has no relatives. He has no nasab, no relatives above or below. No kind, so no one that is equal. No, He is the only one of His kind. And that is the reason why He is God. Because if there were multiple beings like Him, then, you know, that would be illogical. That would make the existence of the universe impossible. Because we see that even in the best of families, right, in the best of families, there can be fights. There can be division, there can be a struggle for power, there can be a struggle for more wealth, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. There is only one God. In a hadith, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the son of Adam tells a lie against me, and he has no right to do so. And the son of Adam curses me in the sense that he verbally abuses me. He insults me, all right? And the word that is used in Arabic is shatam. In Urdu, it's called gali, right? Meaning to curse someone in the sense that you insult them, you verbally abuse them. So in hadith, it is mentioned that the son of Adam, he verbally abuses Allah Azza wa Jal. Astaghfirullah. And what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that he says that Allah has a child. To say that Allah has a child is an insult to God. It is an insult. It is an atrocious statement, because Allah is one. There is no one that is like Him. To say that He has a child means that you are introducing others of His kind. And the moment you do that, you take His power away. You're saying that he does not have absolute power. He does not have absolute authority. So this is an insult. This is an atrocious statement. In Surah Al-Isra, ayah 111, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Say, all praise is only for Allah. Who is Allah? Why perfect all praise for Him exclusively? Because He is الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. He is the one who does not have a child. وَلَمْ يَكُلَّهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. And He does not have a partner in His domain, in his mulk. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ. And he does not have a friend or a protector or guardian to protect him out of weakness. No, he does not need anyone to protect him, to support him. He does not need a partner and he does not have a child. There is nobody like him. In a hadith, we learn about how the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked him, tell us about the lineage of your Lord. Meaning, tell us about his background, right? Where did he come from? In unsub lana rabbak. So this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Ikhlas, that there is no nasab for Allah. There is no background. Yani you don't talk about Allah the way you talk about the creation. And you don't liken Allah to the creation. When you look at any creature, you wonder, what is its origin? Where did it come from? Right. So, for example, human beings, where did they come from? This person, what is his background? This creature, right? This cat, this mouse, this, bat, anything. We know that it came from somewhere, right? It has some kind of origin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he always was, because he is not the creation. He is the creator, right? And he will always be. So he has no nasab, right? And he has always been one. And he was the one who created the skies and the earth, right? So as we learn in a narration, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُ. There was once a time that Allah was there and there was nothing else besides him. He was the only one that existed, right? And then, in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 51, we learn, مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَضُدًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make, the devils or other creatures as witnesses, other beings as witnesses when he created, the skies and the earth. So he was the only one that was there. And we learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 171, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثًا. Do not say that Allah, that God is three. Do not say even that there are three gods. And this is referring to the concept of Trinity, right? God, Son, the Holy Ghost. Do not even say that. انتهوا. Stop it. خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. That is best for you. Because the fact is that إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. The fact is that Allah is only one God. سُبْحَانَهُ. Glory be to him. He is too perfect. أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. That he should have a child. Yani needing a child, wanting a child, having a child, this is from a place of weakness. Right? Because if you think about it, the creation is in need of having children. Right, we need to procreate in order to continue to exist, right? In order that our existence remains. Because if someone does not have a child, right, if they don't procreate, then they're going to cease to exist. They're going to go extinct, right? They're going to go extinct. This is the reality of the creation, that we need to procreate in order to so that our kind can live on. Otherwise, we would go extinct. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is al-hayy. He is the ever-living, right? He is al-ghani, the one who is free of need. He does not sleep. He does not get tired. So he does not need a child or a partner. Subhanahu an yakuna lahu walad. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. And to Allah belong whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth. He is so rich. He is the one who created all of this. So he does not need a family, a child, or a partner. We learn that the entire creation is such that, they are in pairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them in pairs, such that they have an equivalent. And that equivalent is either, its counterpart or its opposite, right? And that pair is needed, right, for the purpose of existence. So in Surah Al-Dhariyat, Ayah 49, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. That everything we have created in pairs, and this pair, you know, the concept of pairs means that either it is, you know, such that each has its counterpart that completes it, you know, in the sense that it enables it to procreate so that it can, you know, continue to exist, or it has a counterpart, its opposite, because then it is complete. Then that existence. That creature has, you know, an existence that can be understood. So, for example, there is no concept of light if there is no darkness, right? What would be light if there was no darkness? Things are known by their opposites. If they did not have opposites, their existence would be incomplete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-wahid, He is one. So He has no equivalent. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wahid, al-ahad, al-witr, this means that He is independent of all. So He is perfect and complete in and of Himself. In Surah Yunus, Ayah 68, we learn, قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدَا سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They say that Allah has taken a child. Glory be to Him. He is al-ghani. He is the one who is free of need. And to Him belong whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth. When Allah is al-wahid al-ahad, this also means that He is one as God, meaning in His uluhiyya. He is unique. He is one. Meaning there is no one who has a share in His uluhiyya, in His being God. So this means that He is the only God, meaning He is the only one who deserves worship. So if there is anyone else that people worship, then first of all, so-called God doesn't really exist, right? It's just a figment of imagination, as we learn in the Quran that these are only names that you have invented. There is no reality to them. It's just names. Right. And, you know, especially when it comes to such mythology, like, you know, for example, Greek mythology, what is the reality of all those gods? Right. There is no reality. It's just names. That's it. Right. And even if, for example, someone, worships a certain creature, believing that it is God, well, calling something God does not make it God. It does not change its reality. So, for example, Isa alayhi salam, no matter how many times people say that he is son of God, he does not become son of God, right? If you call something that is red blue, your calling it blue is never going to make it blue. It's always going to be what it is. So just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only God. So when others are worshipped besides Allah, they don't automatically become God. Even though people worship those beings, they're not actually God. So no matter how many times this lie is practiced, it is taught, it is, you know, spoken about, or no matter how old it is, it will always be a lie, because there is no God besides Allah. He is one in His ilahiyya. So we learn in hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La ilaha illallah yaf'alu ma yurid, Allahumma anta Allah, la ilaha illa ant. O Allah, You alone are Allah. There is no God but You. Wa ilahukum ilahu wahid. La ilaha illahu. Your God is one God. There is no God except Allah. We learn in Surah Al-An'am, قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Say that Allah is only one God. We learn in Surah Hud, ayah number 50, that how, you know, the prophets of Allah, they said, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ. That, O people, worship Allah, there is no God that you have besides Him. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 108, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told to declare that, إِنَّمَا يُحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. That it has been revealed to me that your God is only one God. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So are you going to surrender or not? In Surah An-Nahl, ayah 51, it is said, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ لَا تَتَّخِذُوا إِلَهَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ. That Allah has said, do not take two gods. Do not believe in two gods. Do not say that there are two gods. Because the fact is that there is only one God. There is no concept of God of good and the God of evil. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only God who controls good and evil. Right? Both good and evil come from Him by His permission. In Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 31, we learned, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. That people have not been commanded except that they should worship only one God. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and unique and single, this means that He is one as Rabb. He is singular, He is unique in His rububiyyah. Meaning He alone is the creator and there is no creator besides Him. He alone is the owner of everything and there is no owner besides Him. He alone is the one who regulates the affairs of the creation and there is no one else who does that with Him. Absolute authority is with Allah. He deserves worship and He also has absolute authority over the creation. We learn in Surah Yusuf, ayah 39, يَا صَاحِبَ يَسِجْنِ أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Yusuf alayhi salam asked his, the inmates who were with him in the prison, that tell me, are multiple gods that are divided, are they better? Or Allah who is one, the one who has absolute authority, what is better? Any having divided multiple gods, so there is one God that is controlling rain, another God is controlling, you know, health, another is controlling wealth. Any, is that better? So you're desperately trying to, you know, get everyone's approval and you're desperately trying to, you know, seek their help and one is not helping you because you went to the other. Any, what kind of a life would that be? Is that better? Or is it better to believe in a God who is single, who is all-powerful, whose will prevails? Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wahid, al-ahad, this also means that He is unique in all of His attributes and in all of His names. So in Surah Maryam, ayah 65, we learn, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيَّا. Do you know anyone who has the same name as Allah? Meaning, do you know anyone who is the same as Allah? Is there anyone who is also Allah besides Allah? No, there is no one that exists like that, right? Allah is al-wahid. So in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 11, we learn, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing that is like Him. There is no one that is like Him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And He is the ever-hearing, the ever-seeing. And I mentioned this earlier, that the resemblance is merely in words, not in the actual reality. That is very different. When it comes to our listening, our, you know, ability to see, that is very different from how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens and how He sees things. So the resemblance is merely in words. It is not in the actual reality because لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Saba, ayah 22, that قُلِدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ. That call upon those whom you claim, whom you think, you assert that they are gods besides Allah. If they're really, you know, you think that they're gods, okay, go ahead, call upon them. The fact is that لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض. The fact is that they don't even own, they don't even have power over a مثقال ذرة. مثقال ذرة, something that is equal to, you know, a tiny particle, the tiniest particle. Like a speck of dust. They don't even have control over that. Whether that speck of dust is floating somewhere in the skies or it is settled somewhere in the earth, they don't have power over the tiniest of things even. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has absolute control over everything. This is why we say, La shafiya illa anta. Oh Allah, there is no healer except for you. Meaning healing comes from Allah. This is why we believe, Wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. No one can forgive sins except for you. And if you've done something wrong and you go to people and you say, please forgive my sins, they're not able to forgive you your sins. They can't take your sins away. They can't do that. And even if someone says to you, it's okay, you did something horrible, it's okay, it's okay, their saying it's okay is not going to remove your sins. Your sins are only going to go away when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes them. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Because we believe that Allah is one and unique in His attributes, this is why, you know, we ask Allah that, you know, for example, وَهْدِنِي لِصَالِحِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي لِصَالِحِهَا وَلَا يَصْرِفُ سَيِّئَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. That, oh Allah, you guide me to the best actions and to the best manners, because there is no one who can guide me or anyone to best actions and best manners except for you. And there is no one who can turn away evil actions and evil manners from someone except for you. Any all power is with you. All power to change anything, to cause something to happen, it rests with you. This is why we say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. That there is no power and no might, right, except with Allah. If anything changes, if anything comes, if anything goes away, if we do something, if we avoid something, if we accomplish something, you know, if we survive something, that is with whose permission and with whose power? Only with the power of Allah. This is the concept of Tawheed. And this is a liberating concept. To live with this faith is to live in liberty. Because to believe, you know, on one extreme that there is no God, this is extremely depressing. Hani, that means that you are meaningless, right? That means that you're just as good as, you know, a piece, you know, some dirt. You are as good as a piece of plastic. There is no purpose, no meaning to your existence. And that doesn't make sense. Because we are such intricate, complicated beings. We feel so much. We experience so much. And all of that cannot be in vain. So to believe that there is no God, that's extremely depressing. And then on the other hand, to believe that there are multiple gods, that is extremely confusing. And it's very exhausting, right? It's like you've been left to figure out everything on your own. So that is extremely exhausting. The concept of Tawheed is a beautiful, wholesome concept that satisfies our mind, satisfies our hearts, and it truly liberates us. It gives us a purpose and it brings us clarity. And it's also a source of healing for us, a source of comfort and courage for us. So when it comes to the concept of Tawheed, we see that it's extremely important to live, to know Tawheed, to know the oneness of Allah, to live with the belief in the oneness of Allah is very, very different from living without knowing and without experiencing, without understanding the oneness of Allah. There is a difference, you know, of night and day between these two beliefs, between these two, you can say perspectives, right, or mindsets. When it comes to Tawheed, remember that it is the greatest and most important reality. It is the greatest and the most important reality that Allah is one, that Allah is wahid, He is ahad, He is al-witr. This is the most important reality. And there's things, you know, about this universe which a lot of us don't know about, right? We don't know, for example, what the size of the sun is, right? I mean, I'm sure that there's estimates, but if you were to ask me, I don't know the answer, right? There's, you know, a lot of laws of physics, etc., you know, that people have figured out. You know, people have written in length about these concepts. They have dedicated their lives, you know, studying these concepts. If you don't know that, it's okay, right? If you're not a PhD in physics, it's fine, right? It's okay. But if you don't know Tawheed, if you don't know about the oneness of Allah, you are missing out. And not just missing out as in missing out on experiencing something great and beautiful. No, you are missing out on life. You are missing out, you know, on your purpose, your existence. You don't know something so major, so major. Tawheed is the greatest reality because this is the reality of who? Of the creator of this universe. It's the most important reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. Allah alone is al-haq, meaning He alone is the true God. He really is God. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. And whatever it is that they call upon besides Allah, it is all falsehood. There is no truth to it. In a hadith, we learn that if the skies and the earth and whatever that is in them were put on one side of the scale, and on the other side of the scale, just La ilaha illallah was put, and if you were to measure the weight of La ilaha illallah against the skies and the earth, the entire universe, La ilaha illallah would be heavier. It would be heavier. Because it is more important, more worthy, more beneficial than the skies and the earth combined. Which is exactly what I was talking about earlier, that if you don't know about many things about this universe, it's fine, it's okay. But if you don't know about La ilaha illallah, then you're missing out on something huge. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Ayah 91, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهِ. Allah has not taken a child and there is no God with him. Because if that were the case, إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ, then every God would have taken away what he created. And this world would not be intact then. This universe would not be, you know, put together then. It would be destroyed already. I mean, I'm sure you've noticed this. You've seen this perhaps in your own life about how there is a piece of property that someone owns. And when they die and their children come and divide it up, one sells it, one builds something else on it. The landscape changes, right? Completely changes, transforms. So if there were multiple gods, each god would have taken away his share of the universe. وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. And each god would have tried to overcome the other. Yani there would be constant chaos. So that is not the case. There are no gods besides Allah. The fact is, the greatest reality, the most important reality that is related to every single creature is that there is only one God. Secondly, Tawheed is the right of Allah. It is Allah's right that we believe in and we declare that there is only one God. Because this is the truth about Allah. And if someone were to say something false about you, something that is not true about you, and you're just a person, you're just a human being, right? And you would be extremely offended that how dare they say a lie about me. And we're nothing, yet we get so offended if lies are spread about us. So it is Allah's right that we believe that there is only one God and that we don't worship anything with Him. And in hadith, we learn about this. The Prophet ﷺ told that to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Then Tawheed is the foundation of worship. Yani, because there is only one God, right? Because we believe that there is only one God, we dedicate worship to Him. That is what makes Him worthy of worship. Because if God did not have, you know, perfect power and an absolute authority, then even the creation right, could begin to, you know, compare itself with the with God. They would try to, you know, try to match with or fight God. Astaghfirullah, right? So, because Allah is all powerful, because He is the only God, this is why we worship Him, right? And this is why the pillars of faith, the pillars of Islam, the first pillar is what? La ilaha illallah, to declare that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. Tawheed is a fulfillment of life's purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create men and jinn except that they should worship me. Meaning the only reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us is so that we worship Him. And one of the scholars interpreted this as لِيَعْبُدُونِ, meaning لِيَعْرِفُونِ, that people should know me. Because you can only worship someone if you know them, right? You recognize them. You identify them. You know who they are. So the purpose of life is what? To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? To get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what, you know, the ups and downs of life, this is what they teach us, that there is only one God. He is the one who is in absolute control. I live in my body, and yet I don't have control over it, right? I have certain things, yet I don't have control over them. I am the one who gave birth to my children, yet I don't own them. I have this wealth, yet I don't know if it's going to stay with me till tomorrow. Every single, difficulty in life, challenge in life, what does that teach us? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control. Tawheed was the call of every prophet, meaning the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets, and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed books, was to teach people about His oneness, so that they know Allah is one. They know who is God, and then they can worship Him. So we learn in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 59, Ayah 65, Ayah 73, Ayah 85, about how, you know, different prophets are mentioned. Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam. All of these prophets are mentioned by name, and it is said that, you know, they basically gave the same message to their people. They said, Ya qawmi abudullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah. You have no God besides Him. There is no God besides Allah. The only one who deserves your worship is Allah. So this was the call of every prophet. Tawheed is salvation. Meaning without Tawheed, there is no success. A person cannot succeed in this life, and there is no success in the hereafter for a person if they don't believe in Tawheed. How is Tawheed the source of salvation in dunya, in this life? Because you see, when you believe that Allah has absolute control over everything, He is the creator, He is the giver, He is the one who expands or He withholds, right? He is the one who has power over me, and He is the one who has power over my enemies. He gave me life, He can take my life away. He created my enemies, and He can also cause them. He is the one who will cause them to die. He doesn't just own me, He also owns this world. He doesn't just have power over me, He also has power over the entire universe. What does that do? It gives you so much clarity. It makes you realize that you only need to fear Allah, really. You only need to strive to please Allah, right? That He should become your number one, you know, focus. That you give Him importance over everything else. When you do that, everything falls in place. Everything falls in place. And this is how your heart is at peace. You have purpose in life. You can make sense of things that are going on in life. So this is how Tawheed becomes a source of salvation in this life. Imagine a person is unwell. Imagine, and they don't have someone to call upon. Imagine all that grief, all that worry, all that fear is sitting inside. And a person looks at other human beings like them, that this is a doctor, this is an expert. He has said no. He says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. She says, too bad. This one doesn't care. And when you look at the creation, what you see is that the creation is limited in its power, even limited in its mercy, limited in its help, right? So when you look at the creation, there is only disappointment. So not being able to pour out your heart before someone, how can you live with that? How can you exist like that? So believing in Tawheed enables you to fear Allah, to love Allah, to have hope in Allah, to seek Allah's approval. It gives you the ability to accept your situation and to make the most out of it. It gives you strength. It gives you courage. And then Tawheed is also the source of salvation in the hereafter. So we learn in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 65, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, that it has been revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was also revealed to the people before you, that لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ, if you associate partners with Allah, then your deeds would be destroyed. وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and you would be of those who are losers. Meaning there is no success without Tawheed. If you do shirk, if you associate partners with Allah, this is just failure upon failure. In Sahih Muslim, in Hadith, we learn that مَمْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever dies while he knows that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, then such a person will enter Jannah. In another Hadith, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no slave who says La ilaha illallah and then he dies upon that belief, except that eventually he will enter Jannah. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu was a bit, he was kind of taken aback by that. That what if he commits zina? If this person, says La ilaha illallah, but then he goes and, he does unlawful things. So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, even if he commits zina and even if he commits theft. Abu Dharr repeated his question, wa in zina wa in saraqa, even if he does zina and he commits theft? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And this happened multiple times. And the Prophet ﷺ said, even if Abu Dharr does not like it, and even if Abu Dharr has difficulty in understanding this, yes, the one who says La ilaha illallah, eventually such a person will enter Jannah. So truly, it is the source of salvation, which means that there is no salvation without Tawheed. There is no salvation without Tawheed. We learn in another hadith about how the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever dies while he calls upon another God besides Allah, وَهُوَ يَدْعُو, he calls upon, makes dua to, a nid besides Allah, right? A partner to Allah, meaning he believes that that Allah has a partner, that there is someone else who has the power that Allah exclusively has. And so he calls upon him. Then such a person, if he dies in that condition, دَخَلَ النَّارِ, he will enter the fire. He will enter the fire. So there is no salvation without Tawheed. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, what is our responsibility? When Allah is Al-Ahad, Al-Wahid, Al-Witr, then what should we do? First of all, we should believe in His oneness and we should never associate anything with Him, anything at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Kahf, the last verse, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Then when Allah alone is one who created you, He alone is your Rabb, then do not associate in His worship anyone. So we should strive to stay away from shirk. And we should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from falling into shirk. That, oh Allah, I seek refuge with you, lest I associate any partner with you. And I seek forgiveness with you. I seek forgiveness from you if I have ever associated any partner with you in any way whatsoever. That, Ya Allah, you forgive me. Because shirk is the most dangerous thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive it. There is sins that Allah will forgive, but shirk, Allah will not forgive. Unless and until a person has repented from it in his life. If a person repents from it at the time of death or after death, there is no forgiveness. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. When Allah is one, we should also declare His oneness. Meaning we should actively mention the fact that Allah is one. And this is important. You know, saying that Allah is one, this is not, you know, this is not just a statement that we say with our mouths. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, it's become, you know, just a, you know, a statement, La ilaha illallah. Right? We say, you know, as Muslims, you know, we believe in monotheism. But what exactly does that mean in practical life? Why is it that we are told to declare His oneness? Because when we declare the oneness of Allah, we are reminding ourselves that Allah alone has absolute authority. So I don't need to fear people. I don't need to fear my disease, right? I don't need to be afraid of, you know, things. I should shift my focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He has everything in control. So it's a source of courage. It's shifa for the heart. It's a source of strength, right? And it's a source of relief. So declare His oneness over and over again. You know, we're taught that afdalu dhikri, the best form of dhikr is to say La ilaha illallah. To say that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. If a person dies while he knows that that there is no God but Allah, such a person will enter Jannah, right? And also we learn that if a person says, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير 100 times a day, then he will get the reward of freeing 10 slaves. 100 good deeds will be recorded for him. 100 sins will be removed from him. And he will be safeguarded against the shaitan on that day until the evening. And to say La ilaha illallah is no small thing. So say it while you mean it. Say it with your heart. And then when Allah is one, then of course this means that we should center our lives around Him. We should live for Him. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahiyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. That indeed my salah, my worship, right? My salah and my nusuk, my sacrifice, right? Wa mahiyaya, my life, wa mamati, and my death. All of these are dedicated to Allah. Why? Because He is the Lord of the worlds. He created me, He created everything else. So there is nothing else that deserves my worship, my life, my death, except Allah. I dedicate myself to Allah. And this means that really in every aspect of our lives, we pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. You know, we should be attentive towards that. When it comes to our speech, when it comes to, you know, the way that we deal with our family, when it comes to, you know, even when we take care of our bodies, right? In every matter, we have to be attentive towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. This is really living for Allah. And then the fact is that shaitan is after all of us. And there are, you know, those times when shaitan puts negative thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our minds. So we, you know, sometimes people begin to wonder, well, where did Allah come from, right? Or things like, you know, why did Allah do this, right? So whenever there's any negative thought about the oneness of Allah, then counter that negative thought. How? Counter that negative thought by declaring the oneness of Allah. In a hadith, we learn about how, you know, people, you know, will continue to ask, you know, each other about different matters until, you know, it will be said, Allah created this, right? Allah created that. And then people will say, who made Allah? Where did Allah come from? So in hadith, we learn, whoever finds anything like that in his heart, فَلْيَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. He should say, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. I believe in Allah. And whenever there is a negative thought, and especially, you know, sometimes when you hear different people, different perspectives, you know, as part of studying, right? You know, you're studying science, you learn about evolution, you know, you learn about different concepts, different isms, etc. And you may have certain questions or certain doubts in your heart. Anytime you experience something even small in your heart like that, say, Amantu Billah. I believe in Allah. I believe in Allah. Amantu billah. You say that, right? It's an affirmation that you make to yourself in order to discard any, to get rid of any negative thought about Allah Azza wa Jal. In another hadith, we learn that, you know, when people say things like that, that where did Allah come from? Then you should say, Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufwan ahad. And he should recite Suratul Ikhlas. And then a person should, you know, depending on how bad the waswasa is, spit three times to your left and seek refuge with Allah against the shaitan. And we learn about, you know, the name Al-Witr specifically, that Allah is Witr and He loves Witr, right? So this means that we should, you know, pray Witr, and we should also choose Witr, meaning that, you know, when we're praying in the night, then the last rak'ah should be, you know, of an odd number, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ij'alu akhira salatikum bil-layli witra." And a lot of people, you know, they get lazy when it comes to witr. You know, especially at the end of the day, you know, you're tired, so you just want to get into bed. Sometimes people will just do their isha four rak'ah and get in bed. Make sure you do witr as well, even if it's just one rak'ah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes witr. And we see this, you know, in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a lot of things that he did, he would do them in the odd number. So for example, when he would, you know, recite any dua, you know, for protection, or even, for instance, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, when he would recite these surahs, he would recite them three times, right? The du'as of the morning, of the evening, some of them he would recite them three times, right? Certain du'as he taught us, you know, to read seven times. When it comes to eating, you know, dates, eat them in an odd number. Even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he would apply kuhl in his eyes, you know, he would do that three times. This is what he taught. Even when it comes to, you know, wiping yourself after using the washroom, in the process of cleaning yourself, even that should be, you know, in an odd number of times. When it comes to making wudu, you're washing yourself three times. Even when it comes to washing the deceased, three, you know, an odd number of times. So this is, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with it and He likes that for us. So we should also develop this habit. This is just an expression of, you know, showing our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last section, how can we call upon Allah by these names? The first thing is that there is a beautiful dua in which we learn that a man was saying, there's a hadith in which we learn that a man was saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka, O Allah, indeed I ask you. And I ask you, anni ashhadu annaka. And I ask you, because I testify that indeed you are anta Allah, you alone are Allah, la ilaha illa anta, there is no God but you, you are al-ahad. You are one, as-samad, alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. This is the reason why I ask you, O Allah. So the man was saying this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard him, and he said that this person has called upon Allah by a name by which, when Allah is called upon, when He is asked, He gives. When He is requested, He responds. Yani, this teaches us that when we are making dua, we should mention the oneness of Allah. In your dua, don't just say, oh Allah, give me this. Oh Allah, forgive me. Say, oh Allah, right? Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Ya Rabb, forgive me. For you alone can forgive me. You know, mention the oneness of Allah in different ways. You can mention His oneness by saying, La ilaha illa anta. You can mention His oneness by using one of these names, Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Witr. You can mention His oneness by, you know, saying something like, there is no one who can give me this but you. There is no one who can change my condition but you. No one who can, you know, forgive me except you. So mention His oneness when making dua. Secondly, declare His oneness as much as you can. Make it a habit to say, La ilaha illallah. And there is a beautiful hadith in which we learn that when a person says La ilaha illallah wa Allahu akbar, that there is no God but Allah and Allah is the greatest, Allah says, my servant has spoken the truth. There is no God but I, and I am the greatest. When the servant says La ilaha illallah wahdahu, there is no God but Allah, He is one alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has spoken the truth. La ilaha illa ana wahdi. There is no God besides me. When the servant says, La ilaha illallahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, that there is no God but Allah, to Him belongs the dominion, and for Him is all praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has spoken the truth. There is no God besides me, and all dominion and praise is for me. And when the servant says, La ilaha illallahu, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that there is no God but Allah, and there is no power or might except with Allah, Allah says, my servant has spoken the truth. There is no God besides me, and there is no power and no might except with me. Meaning if there is any power, any might, it is only with Allah. So every time you affirm the oneness of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, He responds. He agrees with, he approves what you have said. So make it a habit to say La ilaha illallah. And there's so many, beautiful ways of saying that. And this hadith is mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah. Otherwise also, there are so many du'as in which we learn about, how we can mention the oneness of Allah. For example, after wudu, right, we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. In salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say in his rukur, La ilaha illa anta, right? After salah, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, right? After a gathering, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. In the morning, in the evening, Allahumma afini fi badani, Allahumma afini fi samari, Allahumma afini fi basari, La ilaha illa anta. And in the night, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up and he would turn his side, sometimes out of extreme thirst, he would be tossing and turning in bed. He would say, La ilaha illallahu al-wahid al-qahhar. That there is no God but Allah. He is al-wahid al-qahhar. He is Rabbus samawati wal-ard wa ma baynahuma al-aziz al-ghaffar. And of course, in every difficulty, in every trouble, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. The dua of Yunus alayhi salam. That there is no God but you. O Allah, you are perfect. Indeed, I am of those who are wrongdoers. So if you pay attention to this, you will find that in so many adhkar, there is the declaration of the oneness of Allah. And as we say it, we should mean it. And we should realize its greatness and its power. And we should make a habit of saying La ilaha illallah throughout the day and throughout the night, whenever we get a moment. And one last thing, make it a habit to recite Suratul Ikhlas as well. Because Suratul Ikhlas, it mentions the oneness of Allah, right? And it mentions the oneness of Allah in the most beautiful and the most complete terms. This surah, while a lot of people recite it in salah because it's a short surah, it's easy to recite. Unfortunately, we don't pay much attention to it. Whereas Surah Al-Ikhlas is a very heavy surah, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite it in salah, for example, in his sunnah prayers of Fajr and Maghrib in the second rak'ah, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas because قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, say Allah is one. In another hadith, we learn about how it is equivalent to a third of the Qur'an. Because the message of the Qur'an is what? That Allah is one, right? So it is equivalent to a third of the Qur'an. And we also learn about how, a man loved Surah Al-Ikhlas and he would recite it frequently. And some people complained about it. And when the Prophet ﷺ asked him, why do you recite it? He said, I love it. I love it. That's why I recite it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, wajabat. Yani wajabat lahu al-jannah. Yeah, Jannah is for him. He will go to Jannah. And it's also, a surah which, if we recite very frequently, it increases us in faith. It removes doubts, And it also strengthens our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, we learn about how if a person recites it 10 times, they get a home in Jannah. So we should also make a habit of reciting this surah and in general, declaring the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we are able, because it is the key to success, the key to salvation. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.